You can't tell me what to do.
But I did.
Okay.
We all did.
This is also true. This is also true. And we are live. And hello.
Heck yeah.
And welcome to Hit in Abyss. This is a 5th edition homebrew Dungeons & Dragons campaign, which has now been split into two groups because 8 was getting a bit large for combat purposes.
The DM chose to split the party.
Yes. And I appreciate that after I did this, the players chose to split the party again. It was like mitosis. Let me show you it. All right. So tonight's episode is 36, Walking the Wire. I am still naming each episode after Imagine Dragon songs until I run out of Imagine Dragon songs or we reach the end of this arc. So when I hit the one that's called Radioactive, that's when...
New characters.
We all run.
Yeah. Oh, you probably should have run earlier than that. When I run out of ones that I think are very fitting to the plot that's happening at that exact moment, it's probably just going to be called Trouble, because you know that's an evergreen title. That's every session. Well, tonight I am joined by a bunch of awesome people. We have Chris, we have Millie, we have Cindy, Ellie's hanging out in chat, and Jen might show up, but might not. Unfortunately, there are issues with the internets and a series of tubes and a dump truck. Apparently, those are things. Those are all things. They might not be related. All right.
Nouns.
They are all nouns. Yes, except for the ones that aren't. With that said, what happened last week?
Burb.
The party split. The party that decided to rejoin the orc tribe fought off a couple of were-rats. Well, they killed three were-rats. Yeah, we killed three of them. Then the remaining three said, okay, you're our friends now because you're part of the tribe. Because apparently orc tribes be like that. And then we mostly just had two characters talk to their moms and Paige mimicking the goblin, which we're not sure is the traitor or not. I mean, on the one hand, the guy who saved us said the goblin's the traitor. On the other, orc mom's mom said, no, the goblin's been part of this tribe since long, long ago.
Yeah.
And
that don't mean nothing.
Yeah, so Fava Beans went with the other people, but the Fava Beans told us that the goblin, the weird goblin, was the bad guy. So when we got back and I made friends with one of the were-rats, but shh, it's a secret. I made friends with him, even though I don't know if he's really all that receptive, but who cares? He's my friend. And we talked about his curse, because he's, you know, a were-rat, and that's really... and friendship, and then we got decided while they were doing weird emotion things with the mom and the great mom, that I would be my super subtle self that I haven't been able to show before and totally learn the entire vocabulary and voice that the goblin has for in case he is the big bad. Oh, and also I left my hedgehog Lulu to watching Goblin Man all night to see if he runs away.
And Ash was with Paige while she was learning all the mimicry things.
I learned how to swear in bad languages.
Yes. Yes.
So it's not just bad words. It's bad words in a language that in itself is bad.
Ash is a terrible influence. We have learned this.
Paige is a fan of everything that happened. I now know how to say a lot of food options, including zucchini and carrots and pepper.
And might I just say, it amuses me greatly that considering Ash's backstory and his actions, we can now say that Paige knows how to swear like a sailor.
Yep.
Paige is very excited.
Well, she learned from a sailor. What'd you expect?
Exactly. Although, I must remind you that this is an evangelical fundamentalist Christian server, so there is no swearing allowed.
Sorry.
I provide a valuable service, and you all laughed, so I get inspiration.
No, the DM does never get inspiration.
Well, we've established that people who just listen in chat can get inspiration.
This is also
any
true.
NPC they wish.
So Ellie's paying close attention.
It will be appreciated. Dinner is served. It's pepper soup. You can really taste the pepper.
There's lots of pepper.
Yes.
It's good.
Yes. Paige did reach a point where she stopped adding pepper and then was told to add more. So however much pepper you think that a slightly messed up in the head Kenku would add to the soup. Imagine more than that.
So it's essentially just pouring a little bit of water.
Well, there's other things in it, but you can't taste anything in it other than the pepper.
There's a couple of vegetables and some meat of mysterious origin.
And potatoes. Yes. I think there was potatoes.
Yeah, potatoes.
Potatoes.
Paige also, by the way, is like, I got a really, 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 really good score for my persuasion last time in keeping this up. So, Paige is still, like, acting, like, way, like, she's proud that she helped cook, but she knows it's garbage. She's still, though, trying to act super childlike, so that way the goblin doesn't think anything.
Okay. Well, food is edible, and there's no raids scheduled for tonight because they did get enough supplies from the previous one, and they just moved to this new location. So there's a few people who are selected to stand watch, but everyone else is crashing for the night. I leave it up to you whether or not you intend to volunteer to stay up, or stay up without volunteering, or say, forget all this, I need a long rest. That's the only way we go up a level.
Ash is going to do a little bit more on the sketch, the schematic for the gunblade he's building for Paige, and make some bullets, and then he'll go to bed.
Okay.
Fahim would probably volunteer to be part of the watch, especially since she's using the supplies and her raid for, even though she wasn't 100% comfortable with raiding for supplies. It's complicated, but she'd volunteer.
And you get the sense from the other monks that they feel the same complications, but at the same time, a monk's got to eat.
Yeah.
And
Paige is continuing to act silly and is being around Ash, you know, to make them think that Paige, like, has to be watched or something. She likes this idea that she's being viewed as a little baby. You know, an innocent little tot that's kind of strange. But is also making sure she gave very, very specific instructions to the hedgehog to not be an idiot and to actually pay attention to the goblin this time.
Okay, so you tell the
hedgehog, don't ruin this for us.
Yes.
You tell the hedgehog to increase its intelligence by a certain number, and it looks at you, and it wiggles its nose a little bit, and it continues to look at you.
Okay, I just give very specific instructions of, you see, goblin, pay attention. If he leaves camp, follow.
It wiggles its nose a little bit and nods.
Okay, thank you.
Then it does that cute thing where it rolls over on its back and looks like a little ball.
No, I cuddle it. And then I let it go do its job.
All right.
Can I leave this up to either you or Paige to decide? I rolled an insight check. I just want to see if Ash is kind of getting what Paige is actually doing. Because I feel Ash would realize, I think she's smarter than what she is. Not knowing how smart, but little smarter than she actually lets on.
Well, Paige, are you trying to hide what you're doing from Ash?
No, I'm only hiding it from the camp because I don't know who's the bad guy. But the party, I've trusted at least enough to not kill me.
Okay, you've trusted the party enough to send them forward in time 5 years.
I didn't let them die, did I?
I love that I can keep bringing this back and get the same reaction every time. This is fantastic.
Every time.
Yes. So, yeah, Ash, you are very much aware that the small bird is up to something with sending the hedgehog off to keep an eye on the goblin. Even though you couldn't hear the instructions because those are like a mental link going on. And then, Paige, you see Ash sketching out plans for a gunblade.
I skip excitedly over, once again, because I'm totally playing it up, but skip over and then sit down next to him and just kick my feet. And I pull out my own notebook and I start to sketch my own plans about, you know, mainly about the Kraken, because that's my kind of focus right now.
Can I see the notebook?
Sure.
Now, clearly what's written in it? Like, not for me saying give it to you, but can I see what you're writing in it?
Sure. He's making me a gunblade. I like him a lot.
Okay. Ash is now very much aware you are not a dumb bird.
Awesome. Yes, there are turkeys and there are Kenku.
You are way smarter than you let on.
I do a little bird trill that obviously means, don't worry about it.
I mean, the first time you met Paige, she was literally part of an autopsy.
Chris True. Wasn't, I mean, Ash wasn't there, but yeah.
Yeah, Ash wasn't there for that.
She was on a boat, and then she teleported us 5 years in the...
And was yeah. it with the group and wandered back in saying, new friend!
Yes. I actually, write down, when I hear Ash say that, I actually write down the word doctorate. And then I just keep, like, whistling and drawing, like, a smiley face.
Just nod with acknowledgement. And just continue the sketch. Okay. He knows her now. He likes her now.
Okay. And as you're doing this, you get pretty far along with your sketches. You haven't quite finished the shading for them yet. So the images aren't really popping. You've got the line drawings done. You're about ready to ink them. Paige, you become aware that Lulu has stepped beyond your range to control her.
I do, like, you know, like, I try to be as subtle as possible to get Ash's attention, and I write down, goblin gone.
I flipped another page in my notebook. Can we track?
Direction, general direction.
Lead the way.
Should I get, do you think we should get Cindy?
There is no
Fahim.
Cindy.
Sorry.
Only Fahim.
Fahim, sorry.
Cindy shows up in the orc and monk camp and goes, what the heck?
Screams terrified.
You're right. If you think it's a good idea, but I don't think she's had much time with her mother. Mothers.
True. And I stop, I think for a second and go, not sneaky. And then I start walking in the direction that my hedgehog moved out of my senses.
And I follow.
Okay. So you leave Fahim to just be sitting there in the dark woods looking out at nothing.
What if Fahim's in that direction?
Well, if the DM is kind, he will say that Fahim happened to be in that direction. If the DM is cruel and merciless, but, you know, that would mean that he's the kind of DM that would throw an ancient green dragon at a party of level 3 adventurers.
Okay, so it's just me and Ash.
I'm sure that's not going to happen. I threw the same ancient green dragon at a party of level 1 adventurers from my middle school D&D group.
So you're even worse than we thought.
And it still amuses me that this year I complimented them on how they were making such great decisions. Like, they were totally unlike all the other groups that I ever played with. And they immediately decided they were going to split the party. They didn't even have a reason to split the party. They just said, hey, everyone, let's split the party.
That's a bunch of D&D players I've ever met.
I know. I was so upset and proud of them. I was so upset and proud of them at the same time.
My first game ever, I split the party, but that's just me.
And we got that recorded.
You did.
Yeah. It was great. Okay, so, Fahim, give me a perception check.
Okay. That's a 5.
So,
me and the bird.
So I've successfully contemplated the fact that the sun is set.
Have you?
You are aware because there are no sounds of birds screaming at it anymore. Not the bird that you know, but the other birds that are in the forest. I will say that Paige and Ash are close enough to Fahim as they head out that they can see her inspecting a very suspicious looking tree.
Go grab Fahim.
She does not see you.
I imitate her mom's voice saying, come here.
Okay, I'd probably take notice of that, but
that's
when
what
I see that coming from Paige, I'm just gonna be doubly confused.
I make a very obvious come here.
I am gesturing with the bird.
Still more confused, I just shrug my shoulders and go, okay, and follow them.
Okay.
I have no idea what's going on.
I am here for this content.
I puff myself up to try and be as tall as possible, Unka boy.
That does not help me in the slightest.
The weird goblin cook. I believe he's the traitor. Left camp!
You already have inspiration. You got at the end of the last game. So, I'm not giving you any this time. All right.
And then I just start walking in the direction still, because I know that we got to keep going or else we won't catch up to him.
Okay. Now, as luck would have it, you have a movement speed of 30, if I remember correctly.
Mm-hmm.
And Yes. Let me look up what the movement speed is for a hedgehog.
It is 20.
Yep, that's what I see. So you are able to catch up to Lulu fairly quickly. Now, are you trying to be sneaky about it?
Yes.
Then I'm going to require stealth checks from everyone who's trying to be sneaky.
Go with the team. Still doesn't know what's going on, so no.
I thought I made it obvious.
I also rolled a 5, so.
Oh, true. You're having a dumb as a rock moment. Stealth, you said?
Yes.
21.
12, not great.
And just so I have a number, Fahim, roll stealth at disadvantage because you're not trying.
But you may have noticed that we're getting sneaky.
Or at least trying to, in Ash's case.
You was actually being serious.
Let me see if I remember how Sidekick likes it. So,
got a 15.
Well, I got a 15 on the die. It didn't include my plus 5 for some reason, so yeah, even with disadvantage, I got a dirty 20.
Yay! Okay, so you're like, I have no idea if I should be sneaky or not, but I am like the wind. I am silent, but deadly.
Oh my.
Wait, phrasing. Moving on. So you are sneaking through the woods, and you come up to a small bluish hedgehog, because why not, that is slowly trying to, but not slowly as in it's walking slowly, but it's got little tiny legs, and they only move so fast.
It's trying.
Yes.
It's trying.
Trying to track a goblin through the woods. It has come up to a log that is maybe 3 times its height, and it's doing its best to try to scamper over it, but it keeps sliding back down the side that you're on.
I pick him up and I put him on in my hood.
It motions with its nose the direction that it was trying to go in.
And so we go.
Okay. Give me perception checks to see. Actually, no. I was going to say survival checks. And if you have the ability to see in the dark, you can roll at advantage.
Let me see.
20.
You said survival?
Yes.
Okay. And I'm looking to see if I can see in the dark, because Lord, if I know.
I Tenku don't have that ability by default, but sometimes warlocks will get it depending on their pact and different things they pick.
Yeah, I don't have that. I checked, though.
Okay.
Let it be known.
Thank you for advantage, because it helped.
I got a total of 12.
Okay, so we have a 12, and...
1 second. Discord's having a moment.
Yeah. I was a dirty 20.
I'm going to use my inspiration.
Okay. I think that's the second time we've had a 2 rolled on the die tonight.
Yeah, what do we do when the computer dies broken?
No, because because I had advantage, I rolled a natural 2.
Okay. I got a 22. I got a 22.
30-20.
That is a difference, and I'm keeping it.
Okay, so fun fact. So right now we've got the lowest roll, understanding advantage and inspiration being spent and stuff like that. Is a 12, and this was a contested roll because the goblin you're trying to track was doing their best to be sneaky, and I rolled a nat 1.
I didn't have to do it.
You didn't have to do it.
Dang it! I was so scared of that 5.
So in its attempts to be sneaky, it accidentally walked through the mud pit and left very distinctive footprints.
Well, attempted to walk around the mud pit and then tripped over a root. And fell face first into the mud. So you see the outline of a goblin spread eagle in the mud, where the goblin then got back up and sloshed through the mud, then tripped over another root. There were several rakes in various positions that apparently it stepped on. And your best guess from the rolls that were like 20 and over were that he grumbled slightly and then stepped over to the side and stepped on another rake and smacked him in the face. And he grumbled again and he stepped over on the first rake. Yes, exactly. That is what I'm referencing.
Sideshow Bob.
Yes.
Oh, me and Ellie got the same idea.
Good. You picked up what I put down.
So essentially what you're saying is he's not very good at this.
Well, I rolled a nat 1. It doesn't matter how good he is. He screwed up. He done goofed.
He's having an off day. Yes. Even if he's not good, he's having an off day.
So even though Lulu's speed is nowhere near high enough to really keep up with the goblin, at this point, it looks like he's not that far ahead because he had a moment. Not a good one. Mistakes were made.
Should we follow him and see where he ends up, or should we just grab him?
I say follow, but I'm not entirely sure what's going on yet.
Oh, I look at Ash and I go, proof.
Proof. We need proof. We're pretty sure the goblin is the one that's the mole, but the mothers are deciding otherwise because they know him, but that doesn't mean Jack, so we're finding proof.
Copy.
Proof. I would like proof before I say my moms were wrong.
Copy proof.
Yes.
Well, to be fair, it was not Fahim's mothers who were saying this was wrong. It was Unka's mom that was saying it. Apparently, if you're looking at the timetable, things that happened, this particular goblin was an ally of Unka's mom's clan before the whole orcish horde burninating the countryside came into effect. So the monks didn't meet this goblin until things went south.
Okay, that does lighten the load a little bit, but still, monks. I don't know why I said monks. Monks are pretty lawful and tradition-oriented. He would still like proof, because if the goblin's been a part of the tribe that long, he's earned his trust, even if it's less personal.
Oh, yeah. And he was hanging out with the monks for 5 years, so...
Ash completely disagrees, but he has trust issues.
Well...
Paige just wants to see the world burn.
For reasons.
Also, Paige likes solving mysteries.
Solving mysteries and rewriting history?
Yes.
I would totally allow Paige to have a non-magical, comically large magnifying glass in with her supplies.
That would make Paige very, very happy.
Also a Deerstalker cap.
Yes, please. Adding it.
I should regret this. I don't.
You have a Sherlock Holmes burb.
I'll let you argue amongst yourselves who's Watson. Oh, wait. It'd be
that Lulu. Might be the hedgehog's new name.
There we go. I'm fine with that. Okay. With that said, I'm not going to require new stealth rolls to be rolled. I'm going to keep using the ones you had. So as you start to catch up, you become aware that the goblin is definitely speaking. And as you get a bit closer, you hear what he's saying. He's like, I was just looking for like wild carrots and stuff. I used up all the pepper, and you don't seem to care about that. What's over there? A distraction of some kind. Oh, you don't care to look over there, do you? What if I gave you this potato? It's a pretty good potato. It's only slightly squishy.
Can I see who he's talking to?
He's speaking to three very large figures, who are just staring down at him and not saying anything.
Fahim is getting ready to jump in between him and the shadowy figures, but I'm not entirely sure when she's going to pull the trigger on that.
Also, Paige is like gripping as much as she can Fahim down, because we do not want to get caught. We're here for proof, not fight.
I'm trying to think, because I could cast darkness.
The thing is, Paige doesn't want to mess with this at all. Paige wants to view this entire thing in its entirety.
But I want him to...
So far, the goblin appears innocent, and Fahim doesn't want him hurt if he is innocent.
Yep, that's what I'm seeing at the moment as well. But at the same time, he could have heard us with the sneak. I didn't roll very well. It might have hurt me.
Well, the three figures seem to be focused on this goblin that is trying to do its best, but is comically bad at doing its best to persuade them that he is not a target.
Can I way around to try and get a better angle on the three figures?
You most certainly can try, yes.
Is that another stealth check?
At this point, I would say Yeah, because you're getting pretty darn close.
Floor dice don't count. Damn it. Annoying, because that was even better. That's a natural 19 plus 5. 24.
Okay, so, yes.
He joins the wall.
There wasn't a wall, but now there is one, which is really weird.
The Wonder Wall.
Anyway, here it is. As you sneak around to get to flank them, you notice that there is a smaller figure, and in this case, by smaller, I mean your size, standing behind the middle of the three large figures.
Mm-hmm. Can I get a good look at what this all four figures are?
Your best guess is the three larger one are ogres, although you encountered quite recently an orc that was infected with something that had blown up to the size of an ogre. Mm-hmm. And these are wearing cloaks, so you can't tell for sure. Your best guess is one or the other. They don't appear to have all the spikes that would make them a Tanaruk. So mm-hmm. you got that potentially going for you, at ogre. Least. Potentially ogre, potentially explodey orc.
Can I see them from where I am, or can just Ash?
Well, it's dark and there's no light sources. other than there's a moon, but you're in the middle of the woods.
When the moon hits my
What about
eye.
The small one from that one?
They are definitely a humanoid of some kind, but they are also wearing a cloak with the hood pulled up, so you can't tell if they're an orc, a human, a rat, a were-rat rather, or a tiefling, or a very tall Kenku, or someone with a noisy typewriter.
Okay, I am going to hold to see how this goes, and if it in any way, shape, or form looks like they are going to jump the goblin, I am going to cast darkness around them.
Okay, well, at this point, the one that is your size, that's behind the three larger ones, says, "This has stopped being amusing. Kill him."
I and jump all, in.
All
I
three,
cast darkness.
All three of the larger figures raise morning stars that they're holding to make the
goblin. I jump in to
push.
Protect the goblin.
Okay.
Into the darkness.
The darkness is coming. The darkness is already here. It's Ash's fault.
As okay. I cast, I shout, "Grab the goblin."
Okay. I think it's safe to roll for initiative at this point.
Is it possible for me to aim past the goblin slash words? The goblin slash Fahim? And use, like, for example, Sickening Radiance without hitting any of my friends?
That is an excellent question. I don't know.
Okay, get back to me with an answer.
So here's the thing. When yes. Ash casts Darkness, how large an area yeah. is affected and where are you centering it? Because that's going to measure everything else.
It's a 15-foot sphere.
Radius or diameter?
15-foot radius sphere.
Okay, so a 30-foot sphere. Gotcha.
And I am dumping it so that the small figure is in the center.
Okay. So that means all...
Hopefully getting all of them.
So that means all the attacks are going to be at disadvantage because every... all the figures that you have found in the middle of this woods, potential ally and definite enemies combined, are inside the sphere. So, did anyone roll over 20?
No.
Nope.
15 to 20.
16.
17.
10. Today is not Fahim's day.
Fahim is tired. Fahim should not have signed up for the night shift.
And I have rolled for... Oh, well, I've got good news for you. I rolled for the other combatants, and you're all doing much better.
Apparently, today is also not Crash's day. Crash also should not have taken the night watch.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Blame the DM. He's responsible for everything. He's responsible for the low dice rolls. He was responsible for the ancient green dragon attacking the party at level 3. It's just attack after attack after attack.
Okay,
It's because you wanted XP pinatas. and that is funny for reasons that we're not describing in the recording.
I had to stop myself.
So first up is Ash.
Wow.
Okay. Can I take a shot at the cloak, the humanoid figure, or attempt knowing roughly where they were?
You most certainly may try, but you're still going to be rolling at disadvantage unless you have an ability to
see magical darkness. I'm going to spend a grit to give me advantage, so it'll even it out. And I'm going to make it a sharpshooter shot.
Okie dokie.
So it's 16 total to hit.
Let me check. That is a hit.
Cool. 18 points of damage from the first shot.
Noted.
Second shot, it will be at disadvantage because I didn't get a natural 20, so I didn't get my grip back. Well, that might still hit. That will still hit because I don't have to take the... No, I do. Then that's... Math is hard. 13 to hit.
A 13 will miss.
Okay, that's fine. Do I want to do anything? No, that's me. That's me. Then I will start going back around the way I came towards the group.
Okay. I'm going to say that you can easily do that because everything was tied enough together that your 30 feet of movement can get you there. Paige, you're up.
Okay, so how big is this enclosure with all of us?
No one in the party is inside the magical darkness, but everyone who was here before you got here is.
And so that includes Mr. Goblin?
That includes Mr. Goblin. Mr. Goblin is in the center of a sphere that is 30 feet across.
Oh, you make it so difficult! All of my AoE spells!
The goblin's not going to be one shot as a positive.
Yeah, but I was going to use Sickening Radiance or Shatter.
I mean, technically, you still could.
Yeah, but like then people get mad at me for killing the cook.
I mean,
it's fine. In this situation, we'll just blame it on the ogre.
You just ate a soup that was mostly pepper.
I'm pretty sure everything I did was the good part of the cooking.
A soup that's mostly pepper sounds better than what he had to work with, so he's doing his best.
I mean, that's fair.
Let's see. First, Paige sighs. I want...
Sighing is a free action.
No. Paige first does a big sigh. This is not what she was... let's see. Then I'm going to... Can I get up on my broomstick and fly up?
I would allow that for your motion, sure.
Sure. I get up on my broomstick just so I have a little bit more ability to maneuver and position myself.
And also you're outside of melee range.
Yes. And I'm still sighing. But then I just throw out a chill touch just to see if I hit anything.
Okay. Are you aiming for big things? Actually, no, you didn't see the other guy, so...
Yeah, so I'm just going into the darkness knowing that there is something worth hitting.
Now, we all know that if you're attacking the darkness, the traditional weapon is magic missile. However, the DM will allow chill touch for this. But
especially
you will
since I don't have magic missile. What do you want me to do, throw pebbles?
I mean, canonically, you've done it before. But yes, go ahead and roll your chill touch.
You either attack the darkness
or you're back at the tavern getting drunk.
Let's see. I have to make a ranged spell attack.
Yep.
Gosh. How do I roll this?
Let me open your character sheet.
Is it the plus 7 or the plus 4?
Let me double check. So
I haven't had to do this, but
chill touch. Yes, it's plus 7. So d20 plus 7.
Okay. I haven't really had to do this. I mainly just explode things with saves. So 14.
Okay. Let me check and see what you're fighting.
Do I have to roll twice?
Oh, yeah, that's right. You got to roll again. The lower number is what goes.
Why did I say something? So 14, does it hit?
Yes, it hits. Roll your damage.
Okay, so then I do...
According to this, it's 2d8 points of damage.
Is it 2d8 plus anything? Or is it just 2d8?
No, it's a cantrip, so just 2d8.
Oh, yeah. 9.
Okay, I will note that off.
I don't know what I hit, but I hit something.
Yes.
The hand's attached. It's giving a very uncomfortable back massage.
That references something. All right. And that was a successful roll, and it's uncomfortable. Fahim.
Yes, and it was necrotic as well, so have fun.
Yay.
That's a great...
All right, Fahim, you're up.
Okay, let's see if I can get Sidekick to cooperate here.
I call the hand Hardy's Jr.
Of course you do. It was that or Carl the Third.
Well, yeah. It might be Wendy's.
So I'm going to rush up to the nearest large figure that I did see and try a Fury of Blows, which is why I'm rolling four times. So ultimately, okay. I got a 13, a 12, a 15, and 25. No, not 20.
All of those hit.
All of them. Okay.
Yes. So, I will tell you, your bonus to hit is higher than this thing's AC. So you're rolling to see if you get a nat one.
Okay, nice. So yeah, with a plus 9, apparently I am these guys' nightmare. So let's see. So this is the damage I do, and assuming he survives, he's also going to have a stunning blow.
Well, he survives.
So he's going to have to roll a constitution saving throw of 14 or be stunned. And while I'm doing this, I hope Fahim remembers the goblin's name, even though I don't. I'm going to tell him to just run back to camp. We got this.
Okay, well, they made the save.
But I still did a lot of damage, and I'm telling the goblin to get out of here.
Oh, yeah, you definitely did a lot of damage. You're pretty sure you felt multiple ribs not just break, but crumble with these punches.
Nice.
If this ends up being the other party in disguise, we're screwed.
It's going to be funny. It's going to be real funny.
Scary lady's going to kill me.
Yeah, I was about to say, if this is the other party, then what's going to happen is Rin will destroy you all.
I don't want Fava being mad at me. It's my new friend.
Forget Fava. Bryn will destroy you all.
I don't want to have to explain that to her mom.
I stand by. If another one of my characters got killing blow on her, it's going to be amazing.
Fahim may have been worried that it was the other. Said, this is not amusing. Let's kill him.
So the
Doubt
other party.
Fahim's mind.
The other party is a halfling and a dwarf, and also two other characters who are not ogres.
Yeah, but there's magic.
I mean, yes, there is magic.
So, yeah, well, Fahim may not have given too much attention to the idea that this was the other party in disguise. He's not funny anymore. That's when any remaining doubt left. So,
she
yeah,
made Sid in disguise.
She's not pulling any punches at this point.
Okay. Next up is the goblin's turn.
I told him to run back to camp. Hopefully
roll to pee your pants.
You know what? Fine.
Roll to pee your pants.
I'm going to roll. And I'm going to roll an intimidation check for the things that he is already intimidated by.
May I suggest assessed because of the random darkness?
So that darkness, without the actual source for it being determined, it could be good or it could be bad, so that advantage and disadvantage equal out.
How does he feel about the giant spectral hand that just flew over him?
He didn't even see it.
Oh. Or the human magical monk darkness that just ran in front of him to attack one of his attackers.
Didn't even see her.
Or the flying bird.
The human monk detects a strong odor. But that's all you can tell in the magical darkness. And he says, "You don't need to tell me twice." And someone uses the disengage action.
And Paige yells potatoes to let him know which direction to go.
I think that'd be more confusing at this point, but whatever.
Potatoes!
Yes, you can have my potato! Here you go! And he tosses it up in the air.
Paige once again just kind of hits her head like, why does no one understand me?
I rolled a 6, so he throws very wide. You hear a smooshing sound as it connects with a tree. No one probably would have wanted that particular potato.
Does he like run away or does he stay nearby?
Oh, he's running back towards the camp.
Okay, cool.
All right, and next up are the baddies, where that's literally what I wrote in initiative order, baddies. So
if it works, it works.
I know, right? So Fahim, I've got some bad news for you. You ran up.
Considering I have an armor class of 19, I may have bad news for them.
Also, you are shrouded in magical darkness.
Extra defense.
So let's see, what's their bonus to hit? Ah, okay. First one misses. Second one misses.
Part of being a monk is learning how to dodge.
So
I mean, the darkness helps.
I will tell you that two of them, you dodge them by standing still. The third one, when it swings at you, you do the cool monk thing where you only move a few inches and then the Morningstar misses you entirely.
Nice.
Yes.
Style points.
Exactly. It's a shame that no one can see it.
Cool monk stuff.
Everyone just has to assume you're doing cool monk stuff.
Paige just still goes, woo! Just assuming.
Okay.
Paige is Fahim's sister.
And
why am I now picturing a Kenku with bomb bombs?
The people who are outside the darkness, do we see the goblin bolt out?
Well, you definitely do, because you're able to see in the dark.
I feel like since I got potatoes thrown in my general direction, I'm aware he's run.
Well, you heard him screaming back at you, so you don't see him, but you definitely hear him yelling.
And didn't he run right past me? Because I'm still in the direction that we came from.
Okay, I assumed that you had flown over the darkness to cast Filtrate.
Oh, no. I was just kind of flying up so I could plan my next move and be not on the ground.
Okay. So here's what happens next. The medium-sized opponent backpedals out of the magical darkness until they're right at the edge of it. And they still can't see Fahim because Fahim. But they are able to see the other two of you based on the fact that they look directly at you.
What? And,
well, they stepped out of the magical darkness.
But I am the knight.
No, you're the Kenku.
I know, I am a... But I am the knight, thank you.
No, you attacked the knight with chill touch. And you're not even a student at Clive Knight's Knight School.
Ugh, fine.
You got expelled, if you remember correctly.
Okay, just because I blew up a chem lab.
Twice.
Yeah, so I had to know what would happen.
And yes, we understand that true science experiments need to be repeatable in order to have their data properly analyzed. You weren't writing down what happened, and we all know the difference between fooling around and science is
y'all
whether or not you write
it down.
Y'all just
mad because I managed to create a werewolf version of the common cold, okay?
I am concerned that I find this as amusing as I do. And my concern is the only thing keeping me from laughing out loud. And thus giving your inspiration back. Okay, so this person, as they're backpedaling, their hood has fallen back. They're definitely an orc. Or at least Ash knows this because you can see in the dark too. And they reach out and point at Ash. And Ash, I need you to make a strength saving throw. Ash?
Everything crashed. I'm sorry.
It's okay. We'll fix it in post.
Okay, so I'm assuming it's my turn, yes?
Yes, you need to make a strength saving throw.
You got pointed at.
Natural one.
Oh, okay.
Oh, no!
I'm going to roll this damage in Discord. That's always a good thing when I'm rolling damage in Discord.
Well, I'll work on a backup.
Okay, you take 29 necrotic damage.
How am I supposed to get my
gunblade
now? As I thought it was going to be.
Dark tendrils of energy erupt from the ground around you and start to...
That would have killed me.
And start to batter you specifically, but they're flailing around, so anyone who'd be sitting next to you would be dealing with the same thing. There happens to be a small bird flying up in the air who is very grateful that she is currently flying in the air.
Gosh, yeah, because that would have killed me. I have 27 HP.
Yeah. And that was their action. So, we're back to the initiative. Ash, what would you like to do?
First off, ow.
Valid.
Half my health, so yes, valid. Second, I'm going to shoot that thing in the face.
Paige approves.
And both these shots are going to be sharpshooter shots, because ow. Okay, so the first one's a natural 20.
So this might be a surprise to you, but that hits.
The second one is 14 plus... 5, now plus 10, take away 5, so 20, trying to math in my head and it hurts. 19 for the second shot.
Okay, so 19 for the second one. Well, 19 to hit or?
19 to hit.
Okay, that will also hit.
Okay, because that hurt my head.
What was the first bit of damage?
Now, so 2d10, oh, that's 2 8s on the dice. 16 plus 5 is 21, plus the 10 from sharpshooter, 31 points of damage from the first shot.
Ouch.
Paige approves.
The second shot is...
You are
four
getting a bad Yelp review.
4 plus 5 is 9, plus the 10 from the sharpshooter is 19 points of damage for the second shot.
19 for the second one.
Yes.
Okay. Definitely bloodied.
Okay. And I don't have... Do I have action surge? No, we haven't had a rest yet, have we? What I am going to do is pop second wind as a bonus action and get 13 points of HP.
Okay.
And that's me.
All right.
Hold on. He hit me, didn't he? So, can he make a Dex 13 saving throw for Hellish Rebuke?
That's a reaction?
Yes, it is. I keep forgetting about that.
You
I haven't played
a reaction
in a long time.
He cast Arms of Hadar, and you failed your save, so you can't do reactions until his next turn.
Meant to do it on his turn, because I forgot I haven't used it, but that's fine. I'll wait till he does it again.
You still from you failing your save with a nat 1, or any fail for that, you can't do any reactions until his next turn. So if he hits you with something again that isn't another Arms of Hadar, you can use Hellish Rebuke on him.
Okay.
I was thinking of that, but then I reread the spell description. I was like, oh, okay, well that's probably not a thing. And then, oh wait, actually it is. But now it's not. Moving on. Paige, you are flying above a dark sphere, and there's a tiefling and an orc fighting it out with ranged attacks. They're like 10 feet away from each other, so they really don't need to be ranged attacks, but they're ranged attacks anyway.
I'm just imagining like a scene from a Naked Gun. They're both on the other side.
I know
of
exactly
the, same table.
The scene you're talking about. Yes.
Yes. You mean every single episode of that show? Yes. So I'm enjoying not being on the ground. And you said that whoever it was bloodied.
Yes.
I'm going to look at him and I'm going to cast Toll the Dead.
Okay. What do we need to roll?
He has to make a 15 saving throw.
Which stat? Is it Wisdom?
Wisdom.
I thought so. He makes it.
He does.
Yep. That's a 15 on the die.
That is baloney. So I don't do any damage.
If I was a superstitious person, I'd say I got my low rolls out of the way during initiative.
Let's see. So I then just fly a little bit out of the way so I don't get hit by whatever spell that thing wants to do next.
All right. next up is going to be Fahim. By the way, how long does that darkness last?
Darkness lasts 10 minutes.
Okay, so this combat will be over one way or the other before that darkness goes away.
Yeah, unless I go down because of concentration spell.
Okay. So Fahim, there are three ogres...
Oh, I need to do a concentration check on...
Yeah, you might need to. That was a lot of damage you took.
So what was it, 29? So half of that is 15. Darkness is gone.
Okay. So Fahim, you can see the three ogres with morning stars now.
Darkness, not
so
surrounding me. Everything.
So the good news is, you're not rolling a disadvantage. The bad news is, they won't be either.
Neither are they.
All right, I'm going to start off by doing another Fury of Blows on the one I've already attacked.
Okay. There is a frosty handprint on this one's shoulder, too.
So that's 20, 21, 16, and a nat 20.
Okay. Roll all the damage. All
right. So I rolled double damage on the nat 20, so that means I get added another
D6. You get five.
I like how fighters do one thing and they do it well. Monks do that same thing, only more of it. And that thing is hit things a lot.
I mean, when we get to a higher level, I'll eventually have three action surges.
Okay. So, Fahim, you've just done an additional 33 points of damage to this thing. Is that how much you did last time? I think you rolled over 30 last time, too.
33 was the exact thing she did last
time. I thought so. So you've done 66 points of damage to this thing. In your blows... The only reason you didn't punch through this ogre is because its diameter is larger than your arm reach. But you're pretty sure that's the only reason you haven't punched through it. Its chest is caved in a very unnatural way.
Page claps again.
Is it still standing?
Yes.
Is it alive?
That requires a definition.
Is its brain still functional to the point where it will try to attack me on its turn?
Most likely.
Zombies!
Okay, is there anything else you want to do?
Zombies.
I mean, Fury of Blows takes up my action and my bonus action. So
okay. Well, then,
all I have all left right. is my movement, so no.
Okay.
Wait, are these things zombies?
Well, one of them
probably
doesn't seem to require lungs.
Because I was doing... Yeah, so did you make sure that the one that was doing that, that the one that just got punched to death, not really, did you make sure it had super disadvantage on its attack roll? Oh, wait, my chill touch did work, yeah.
Yeah, it depends on a lot of things.
Because if it's undead, then it automatically gets a super disadvantage.
Well, I think, hold on. It gets super disadvantage on what?
Attack
also,
rolls.
What is super disadvantage? I don't think I've
Sorry. Yeah. I was saying super disadvantage because it was darkness and it was also disadvantaged by
yeah,
the
chill. Disadvantage doesn't stack.
I wish.
That would lead to really weird situations, but they decided it's you can yeah. have disadvantage, you can have advantage, you can have them both cancel each other out, but nothing stacks.
I want super disadvantage.
Yeah, that was the lesson they learned from third edition: is the bonuses stacking on top of each other just
trip
takes
over
a lot
every
of time.
Single rake.
Okay, so I need you to roll a d20 45 times and give me the highest number. Frickin' red mages. All right, moving on. The goblin uses his action and movement to continue to run. And the screaming is a free action. He does that too. Now for the baddies. So the three ogres are all going for Fahim. That is a 13.
I want to say something, but Crash would not appreciate his students hearing it.
That's a 10. And that is an 11. And you said your AC is like 19?
19.
Yeah, 19.
So, like I said, I want to say something, but Crash appreciate it.
Well, they're doing their best to swing and hit you, and you are like a leaf on the wind. This last guy, however, is not an ogre or a zombie, so he has a different skill set. He has acquired a unique set of skills over many years. He has found you, and he doesn't want you to kill him. Wait, I don't think that's how it's supposed to be. No, in this campaign, I think that's working. He casts a spell, and you no longer see him.
All of us are just, Fahim.
No one who knew he was there sees him.
Do I no longer see him, or is it another magical darkness?
You don't see him. You see everything else, you don't see him.
Okay, so he cast some form of invisibility on himself. Okay.
Or teleported away. You do not have... natural spellcasting abilities, so it's hard for you to say for sure.
Yeah, I can't tell the difference. I was just trying to figure out if it was a matter of another darkness or just him gone.
Oh, yeah.
But it's just him gone.
Okay, so that's the end of that round. We've been playing for over an hour, but I kind of want to wrap up the combat before the break, but it's up to you.
I'm good either way.
You cut out.
I am good.
Page? Oh, no.
Paige is stuffing her face.
Let's go.
Okay.
These potato chips are tasty, okay?
Okay. In my headcanon, Paige the Burb is up there on her broom eating popcorn, watching this happen below, occasionally casting Chill Touch to help out.
That would be in character.
Yes, it would be.
It would
also,
be.
Also, don't know where she got the popcorn. We don't ask these things.
Still in character.
Yes. Ash.
It would just be in character for her to have random popcorn.
Okay, I am going to... So that ogre that I've taken multiple shots into is still alive, yes?
No, you weren't shooting the ogre. You were shooting the orc that just disappeared.
Oh, okay.
You were shooting the only one who managed to do damage to the party.
Right, okay. Then I'll start shooting the ogres because I don't know where the orc thing is.
Start with the one I've already bloodied.
That was the plan. So I'm going to shoot on that thing, and I'm going to sharpshooter both these shots. Ooh, I love it when I get a decent roll on a sharpshooter.
I will tell you, it looks damaged enough that you can probably take it out with a single hit.
That's fine, then, because that was a natural 19 to hit.
Yeah.
Just make sure with the dice. So 4 plus 5 plus 10, 19 points of damage.
How do you want to do this?
Right through its forehead.
Okay.
And
the lower half of the front of its head is the only part of the head that remains. The rest of it is kind of like a watermelon after a Gallagher show.
Okay, then I'll turn to the next one. And since I got a grit back, I'm going to do a violent son of a...
I don't think that's a good roll.
I misfired.
He hits himself with the butt of his gun.
My gun jams.
A viscous red fluid starts leaking out of the gun. It smells faintly of raspberry.
God damn
it. Star.
Okay.
The camera zooms in and smacks Ash in the face.
Right, so what I will do is do a quick draw and swap to my pistol, ready for the next.
Okay. Next up is Paige.
Real question. If I cast Dispel Magic, do you think it would actually make the guy who disappeared come back into seeing?
I
think you have to have a target.
Yeah. If you don't know where he is, you can't target him. You could target the spot where you last saw him in the hopes that he's still there and just invisible. If he has moved...
I cast Dispel Magic.
Okay.
I mean, not Dispel. Detect. They both start with D's. I have both of them.
What's the range for Detect Magic?
30 feet around me.
Okay. So you see that there's a lot of magical items on you and your compatriots.
My cohorts.
Yes. The zombies are glowing with necrotic magic.
Rad.
Well, two of them are. One of them, that magic is fading very quickly as it sort of teeters kind of like a tree that's about to fall down.
Get stitches.
So all you know is that orc disappeared. If they cast invisibility, then they use their movement to bolt out of there. If they cast a teleport, then you have no idea what the range was that was on, and they're gone. Mm-hmm. But either way, they're not in the vicinity of your spell.
Paige sighs heavily.
Okay, and casting Detect Magic is an action.
I know.
So
I was hoping.
Well, it means we're getting through the initiative faster. That's fine.
Yeah, so Paige, I'm not done.
Oh.
Paige flies over a little bit more and then casts Shadow Blade.
Is Shadow Blade a bonus action?
It is a bonus action.
Okay. Then you do that.
So yeah, now I have a shadow sword.
Okay. A bird on a broom with a sword.
Made of darkness. It's solidified gloom.
Okay, well, I'm not overly concerned because this has been done before, but there's still a part of me that says, if me, Crash, was in the situation, me, Crash, would be very concerned. All right, so Fahim, you're up.
All right. If I remember right, the ogre I was fighting is now dead. So I'm going to move to the next one and do another Fury of Blows.
Okie doke.
So that's an 18, 28, 19, and 11.
Your lowest as an 11 is still a hit because, like I said, their AC is below your bonus. The only thing we're worried about when you're rolling is if you got a 1.
All right, so in that case, I'm also going to expend a point on trying the Stunning Strike, so it's going to have to make a Constitution saving throw of 14, and I'll roll damage in the meantime.
Would you accept a 13?
I'll accept it in the form of it is now stunned.
Okay.
So it's... How do I keep rolling 33s?
I don't know, but I love it.
That's 3 in a row.
It's the best.
So it's stunned and it takes 33 points of damage because that is apparently my theme for the night.
And for the sake of the recording, these rolls are being made in Discord. This isn't something where someone's rolling a die in real life and then telling us the number, like, oh yeah, I totally rolled a 33 again. What are the odds? No, we're looking at the results created by a random number generator. It's 33 three times in a row for multiple numbers being added up. This is great. Okay, it's stunned and working on a single lung, which it really doesn't need any, but the chest cavity is being caved in here as well. All right, so next up is, the two ogres that are remaining. Ogre number 3 uses its action to fall prone because it doesn't have most of its head anymore or any of its chest cavity. If you wanted to use it as the most macabre boat ever, you probably could.
On it.
The DM regrets the words that came out of his mouth.
You're the one who said it. You're the one who said it.
The DM admits that mistakes were made. Okay, I'm rolling for both of them at the same time. That is a 2 on the die and a dirty 20.
What?
So Fahim is finally getting hit by something.
I can take it.
Yep, because it's 13 points of damage. You feel it, but it's not the end of the world.
Yeah, considering as a monk, I can also heal 24 just as an action. Yeah.
Yeah.
This is at most an average training day for a monk.
You are Neo, but never mind about that. So that's their turn. Ash, you're up.
Okay. Frustrated, because that's the first time I've misfired. I'll use my pestle and take 2 shots.
Okie doke. Pew pew.
I will still sharpshooter.
Well, I have not. Sorry.
Both are 11s, actually. No, wait, is that 19? No. Yeah, so hold on. I rolled a 6 and I rolled a 9. It confused me. They both looked like 6s there for a second. So 19 to take away 5. So 11 and a 16 to hit.
Yep, they hit.
Cool.
These things are not very armored. Their benefit is their large piles of hit points.
43 points of damage.
1 second, the DM is making a note that he needs to send things with higher hit point pools against you.
I am absolutely okay with low AC.
It's not the high hit points. It's the low AC that's letting me do this, because sharpshooter means -5 to my hit, but +10 to my damage.
There you go. Okay, so there is now a very large, very circular hole in the center of this thing's chest, and it's still raising up its morning star to take another swipe. I mean, it's comically round, this hole in the middle of its chest. And I think that's your action?
That's my action. I don't think I have anything that I can do a bonus action with. Now I did my action surge. I don't have any spears. I don't have any grit. That's me.
Okay, Paige, you're up.
Okay, so who's still, which enemies are still in the fight? Did that one with the big hole die, or is it still kicking-ish?
Well, both of those statements are correct.
It's still an enemy.
Yeah, it's still in the field. You're not quite sure how it's still able to move. You understand enough about zombies that you understand how zombies move. But this one, there's some structural integrity that's assumed to be required. And you imagine that it might be like a house of cards ready for you to just tilt it.
I throw my sword into it.
Give me a ranged attack roll.
That's just the 1d20. What do I add to it?
Well, your sword, if I remember correctly.
I'm using my shadow blade, which has my magic attack.
Yes, but you're also throwing it. And can the shadow blade be
I'm just
thrown?
Trying to figure out the modifier for throwing these. Is it the +4 modifier or my +7 spell attack modifier?
Well, let's take a look. Give the other threads of shadow to create a sword of solidified gloom in your hand. The magic sword lasts until the spell ends. It counts as a simple melee weapon with which you are proficient. Okay, so it's a melee weapon. So here's how the DM is ruling this. Because it's a melee weapon, you might be using a different modifier for hitting things with it. But because you're throwing it, it's going to be something that you're not proficient in, because you're not using it the way it was designed. Now, the good news is you're still going to be adding a bonus because you have a dexterity modifier +2. So roll d20 +2.
Okay. That was my question. So I know the damage is what it says on the spell. Come on, Discord.
Yes.
Yeah, I want to type in the box. Okay.
Roll for Discord.
Okay. Back. 18.
Okay. So even though this is not something that you've had any practice doing, you throw this sword. What's your damage?
I want it to look really cool. Okay, so now I roll what it says for the spell.
Yes.
3d8.
Mm-hmm.
Do I plus anything or just the 3d8?
I believe it's just the 3d8.
So I do 18 points.
Okay, so you want it to look really cool, right?
Yeah.
So how do you do this?
I aim right for what I would imagine is the heart.
The heart is currently spread over a good 30-foot area behind it.
Okay, but like where the heart area. Would be...
That's a gaping hole. blame the gunslinger.
Fine. Okay, I aim for right across the neck. Right across the throat.
Okay, there's a small dragon that used to be a kobold that's very, very pleased with your actions. Because cutting off the head is how you know it's dead. And that's almost a tagline for that particular kobold. You aim
Dox's
for the neck.
Legacy lives on.
Yeah, you aim for the neck, and it the sword slices right through and sticks into a tree behind the ogre. And for the briefest of moments, you're not entirely sure that you actually hit it.
Mm-hmm.
But then a thin red line appears going across the neck, and the whole thing just collapses into a pile of meat and bones.
Wanting to stay looking cool, Paige then does this finger snap and has the sword come back to her hand magically.
Okay.
That's the thing I can do, because that's my bonus action. But also, I also want to add that the hands are clapping.
What's the sound of 1.5 hands clapping? But never mind.
It's like trying to do patty cake with the head.
Dang it, I laughed. You have inspiration again.
Yes.
I forgot. I don't want to give you inspiration for that, but staying true to my word. Fahim, you have one opponent left.
And I still have enough key points for a Fury of Blows and a Stunning Strike, so gonna be my...
Okay.
Give him the old 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
All the hits.
No. Yep, no nat 20s or nat 1s. So let's see if I get another 33.
33.
At some point, Fahim's going to get a jersey made that she wears around that just says 33 on the front of it.
34!
So close! I'm going to interpret this as you leveled up. You got a 34 now.
Ding.
Heck yes! I learned a new spell in the middle of battle.
Unfortunately, all the pop-ups from you leveling up fill your screen, and therefore you are unable to see the opponent you're attacking or the bad on the ground that you got to step out of.
It's still going to make a constitution save of 14 or it's stunned, because I spent that key point as well.
I rolled an 18 on the die.
Okay.
Okay. Now it's turn. Now, ogre zombies and zombies in general don't tend to want to flee, so even though it is not doing well, it's going to attack, and I got a 23. So you're taking an additional 13 points of bludgeoning damage from the Morningstar.
Okay.
All right.
I'm at technically slightly less than half health, but I still have my wholeness of body to heal myself at any moment.
Okay. Ash, you're up.
Okay. I'm going to draw my gunblade and go running at this thing.
Okay.
And take two swings.
The screen goes dark, and we just see bright lines going across the screen in X pattern. Then the screen
okay
brightens
with this,
up again.
Because the first one I rolled was a natural 2. The second one was a natural 20.
Okay. What's your bonus to hit?
Plus 9.
Okay, so the natural 2 still hits.
Seriously?
It has an AC of 8.
Oh, wow. Okay, I'll take it.
That's okay. Why Fahim was just only rolling to see if she got a nat 1 or a nat 20. Because she has a plus 9 to hit, okay. So everything hit automatically. Otherwise.
So I'll do the piercing damage first. So 8 + 3 is 11 plus 12 is 23. Did I math that right?
Close enough for government work.
Okay, 23 piercing. And then the fire damage from the crit.
It's immune to fire damage, it actually heals it. No, not true. Not true.
Don't. Using my inspiration fire to take damage. Back that statement.
Okay. Well, the bad news is it's not bloodied, but that the good news is that's only because you have cauterized the wounds with the fire damage. No, it is very seriously injured. You just cut an arm off.
Yeah.
Well, the arm is still technically connected to the shoulder and a huge portion of the chest, but that's sitting over there on the ground.
So on the first strike, you just see me slice with the gunblade, and then the second strike, when it hits the actual hilt that looks like my pepper box, just kind of shoots out bullets that go right in his.
Okay, so it is still alive, but just barely. Paige,
I throw my sword again.
Okay,
D20 it's plus going 2. Pretty well for me, so I'm enjoying it. Let me make sure I do this right. Come on, Discord, be my friend.
Dirty 20?
20.
All right. So, roll your damage.
13?
How do you want to do this?
You know, this time I want to go right for the back of the skull.
Okay. So, you're in front of it, and you throw your sword, and it does that thing that you sometimes see in martial arts movies and stuff, where like it's slow. You're not skilled in throwing swords. You're not proficient in it. So instead of throwing it in a way where it goes in a straight line, you sort of just like overhand throw it, so it's spinning end over end, and as it goes towards the
zombie's head. I was imagining
head,
that I was like force pulling it back. Like I threw it and then force pulled it through his head.
Oh, you know what? That's fine. I will accept that as a how do you want to do this moment. So yeah, you throw it, and it goes over the ogre's head, and then you do that whole snap your fingers to pull it back thing, but it's fell down a little bit because of gravity, so when it comes back, it goes through from the back of the head, through the face, back to your hand. You're hit by a bit of spray.
I'm happy with it.
Yeah, Unka might want prestidigitation to be cast on you when you get back to camp, because I think you got a little frontal lobe on you right there.
I want to research it anyway. I got to know how that brain works.
Well, you hear the Final Fantasy victory music playing in the background. Da-da-da-da-da. You've done it. All right. So we are going to take a very short break. Got a few minutes left, and I want to go over, say, the epilogue for tonight's episode and what you do after this. But I need to go and stretch my legs real quick. So we'll be right back.
Okay.
Okay, so when should I press the record button?
Now?
I don't want to press it now.
An hour and a half ago?
Yeah, that's when I pressed it. Should I press it? No, never mind.
No.
We're back. Okay, so you are in the middle of the woods. There are three dead ogres who have been dead for a while.
Shia coming? Shia surprise.
Well, there's a cabin over there. No.
The look in his eyes.
I got that reference.
I'm surprised you got that reference.
That is an older meme. And it does check out.
May I attempt? May I pull out my paper box and try and fix it?
Okay. So, yeah, as the ogres start to slowly settle back into the earth from whence they came, and there is a very strong odor of rotting meat filling the whole area. Also, expired smoke powder, because there was a lot of bullets being thrown through the air. And also a hint of what is most likely goblin urine.
Can Paige get 21. Anything interesting from the dead bodies?
They appear to be wearing just enough clothing to be modest. Not that the undead need a lot of modesty.
I mean, because they're magic zombies.
Well, give me an arcana check.
I'm also going to reload both guns once
the. I want to know about the magic variety of interest. I don't care about their clothing. I care about the fact that they're cursed zombies. Ogres.
Okay, so with an 8, I will say that you're pretty confident that you'd be able to figure out more if they hadn't been filled with holes. Somebody put a lot of holes in these things and let all the magic out.
My bad.
It's like when you release the magic blue smoke from a computer and it doesn't work anymore.
Ah, yeah, so I give a look at Ash when he's doing the my bad, and I do a quick little feather ruffle and then keep going.
I appreciate that. It's also canon that Paige is responsible for 2 of the killing blows.
Yes,
but I don't think she's upset that they're many dead. Holes.
And all of my holes were very subtle.
Mine's were not.
And Fahim punched a chest cavity until it was concave. Okay, and Fahim is saying that while you're investigating, she is using her wholeness of body ability to heal a bit, which is a good idea, because there are only 2 of you that took damage. Of course, there's 3 of you playing, so only 2 of you took damage. It's still like, well, it was only 2/3 of you took damage. That's all.
Paige is very...
That was a lot of evil robot going on there.
I did heal.
Paige is very proud. gently taps the flying broomstick a little bit, like, you're good.
You kept me from having to mingle with the rabble and the peasants.
Yeah, with like my 25 HP, I would have died.
Yes, you would have. Everyone in this fight besides you took damage that would have killed you.
Yes, I'm so scared. I'm a weak little burb. Do you know my bone structure? Fragile.
Okay, so what do you want to do at this point?
I kind of sigh because obviously we couldn't find out if he was bad or not. And honestly, we should try to, you know, now he's going to think that there's something wrong with us because we showed up when he was secretly away doing something. We're going to need to do some damage control.
He was looking for wild carrots. That's what he said.
Yeah, okay,
Fahim
yes.
is just going to think that this is more proof to his innocence that yeah. he was legitimately just in a bad situation.
I don't mean that. I mean that suddenly, as he was far away examining carrots, far away from the camp, suddenly the three new people show up out of nowhere. Why were they following him? He's not stupid. So,
I mean, he's a goblin, so I don't buy that.
I'm just going to take a quick look at his stats. No, he's not stupid.
Yeah, because I could tell by the way that he was that he's not the dumbest goblin in the world. Cook well enough to not die. So I kind of sigh, and I look over at especially Ash, because Ash seems to understand what I'm trying to squawk. And I just kind of go, I don't know which voice I'm going to be using, but pretty much we got to fix this.
In my head canon, it ends up because you're basically doing...
a Bryn move?
In my head canon, mm-hmm. you're picking whichever words work best for the sentence you're trying to make, regardless of who said them.
So I have, well, I guess we pepper should.
And all the low back. Voices are in Sylvain, so
yes.
a lot of these words no one understands.
And then I just kind of start heading back to the camp.
Do you walk back to the camp, or do you just sort of slowly fly back on your broom?
I'm flying slowly enough that it's obvious that I'm not leaving them behind.
Okay.
I'll follow her to camp, but at the same time, Fahim, at this point, is only more convinced of the goblin's innocence. Whether or not it's true, her matter of a monk tradition and this particular encounter has just enforced her idea that the goblin is being framed, at best.
Okay.
Yeah, Ash is little more dubious on Fava's role, but does also feel like there's for a frame job here.
Okay. So you make most of the way back to camp before a group of orcs and monks together meet you just outside the camp. They are armed and ready to fight, but they see it's you and they sort of like relax a little bit. And one of them, who you didn't catch their name, says, "We heard gunfire. Are you okay?"
"We were saving the cook."
"Orc's dead.
We got in the fight. Everyone on our side lived.
What was
the opposing side mostly died. I think one got away."
"Zombies."
"The cook. Graris? What was Graris doing out there?"
"A little goblin."
"Pepper."
"Yeah."
"Pepper."
"Apparently..." "Paige."
Potatoes.
"Apparently
looking for wild
for
vegetables.
Spices and food. And foods."
"Okay, well, we should probably go and find him and see if he's okay."
"Not we back?
We sent him back.
He's not here already? We told him to run back to camp the moment the fighting started."
We didn't know he was gone."
"Well, if he's not back already before us, then that's some bad news."
"Agreed. And when you get back to camp, he is indeed not in camp."
Fahim is now suspicious of him again.
So is
R.O.P.
And that is where we're going to end it tonight. you cut out
with
there.
With Paige saying follow P.
Unfortunately. Yes. Thank you everyone for playing. Thank you everyone for listening. You've heard it. You can't unhear it. Let's do some quick plugs. First of all, Ellie, who's been hanging out in chat, has a social network, elic.xyz. It is Mastodon compatible, so if you have a Mastodon account on any instance that's federated with us, you can follow us there. Show notes include a link to bios with ways you can follow us. Going down the list of people who are here. I need to fix that. There was a problem.
Yeah, it's
here.
Not been on there since I started coming back.
It's on the other one. It's not on this one. So Chris has a fortnightly podcast, AzerothCTC.com, where they talk about, oddly enough, Blizzard games like World of Warcraft. Go figure. With a name like that, I did not expect it to be World of Warcraft, but whatever.
All right.
Yeah. And Millie has a stream, twitch.tv/magicalmillie, where fan fiction is read. And it's all delightful, I'm told. I'm certain that it is all very well written, of the highest caliber and quality.
I've been reading My Immortal and Harry Communist.
I have a lot of concerns.
You should.
And you were cutting out like crazy, but I heard just enough.
You should be concerned.
I heard just enough to remember some things you've told me previously about one of those two. And I'm just going to replace the plug for you with the plug for Chris, because no one should be able to listen to that. No, joking. We also have a Patreon, patreon.com/cogwheelgaming. Help us keep the lights on. You can join other illustrious patrons such as Alice, Chris, Cindy, Ellie, and Eric. And until next time, remember that D&D games can have a little kobold as a treat.
But once the kobolds start, they don't stop.
This is also true. Good night, everybody.
Hold the goblin piece.
Bye.
Bye.